Illinois Wesleyan has a tradition of excellence in liberal arts. I think that why now is because it's the stage that I'm at in my career where I think I'm ready to lead an institution like this. It's an interesting time. There's lots going on in the world of higher education, and it's nice to be at a place with a sound foundation like Illinois Wesleyan so you can sort of build forward and respond to the kind of opportunities I talked about briefly downstairs.
You mentioned that Illinois Wesleyan is not faced with an existential question, unlike some other liberal arts institutions. Why not, and what distinguishes the advantages that IWU has from those other campuses that are facing that question?
Like other successful institutions, there's a sound financial base for Illinois Wesleyan, and there's a clarity of purpose. There's an understanding of mission. And I think that as colleges and universities are moving forward into the territory that we're moving into now, the ones that will be successful are the ones that have that kind of an understanding of what they are, where they fit, what they can do. And Illinois Wesleyan is one of those. Are there opportunities for growth and change in that mandate? Of course. You know, everyone at every level is going to be looking for those opportunities. In my view, there's a unique opportunity at liberal arts institutions that is not available at other places to give that sort of personalized attention that will be a real differentiator moving forward. And Illinois Wesleyan already does that to a great extent.
How do you see that landscape developing? We are still several years away from the demographic shift and reduction of high school graduates in total from that ending. We are even longer away from any shift upward in the average family income of high school graduates, so there will be increasing financial pressure on those prospective new students. And we are in a cultural time that is currently favoring specialty and technical educations and having many parents convinced that their children should abandon the liberal arts. How do you see the landscape, and does that vision include what I've just mentioned?
That's a great question. You really laid out the problems pretty clearly. I think that there's an overemphasis probably right now on STEM, pendulum swing, and we're at the far extent or close to it of the emphasis on sort of technically oriented training, with the notion being that those are skills that translate directly into employment. There's a broad set of skills that employers say they want. They want students to come to them who know how to work in teams, who know how to solve problems, who can think, who can write, and you've just described what it is that we do here. We teach people how to solve problems in a much more global way so that they've got the adaptability as things change to perform the kind of functions they need to advance. You know, the average millennial keeps a job for what, a year, year and a half, 2 years? There's a very rapid turnover of millennials in jobs. It's a different sort of an attitude towards employment than was the case when I was coming out of college, and I would guess when you were too. And so that idea that we're training people who are adaptive, who are really going to rise and become the leaders of the things that they're doing, it's a relatively small number of people who come to places like this. There's a large number of opportunities for them, and it's on us to make clear that the prospective students and their parents understand that in the long run, that kind of adaptability is going to be what most advantages the kids.
Illinois Wesleyan has had some challenges in an enrollment tightening, in faculty and staff who have faced small or no salary increases for a pronounced number of years. How long is that sort of status sustainable, and how do you propose to address it?
Well, it's not unique to Illinois Wesleyan for raises, for example, to be rare. The only reason that I got a raise in my recent past was because I changed jobs to go to Hamlin to become provost. I think we went 6 years at William & Mary without raises. It's a hard business right now. You may know that not-for-profit private universities in general have charged less in real dollars in tuition now than they did 10 years ago. So there's been a real response to this idea that college is expensive and that we need to in some way make it affordable. And of course, there are matters beyond the control of college administrators like the ability of state legislatures to back off from funding education. In the end, public education is going to be funded less extensively than it is now. In the end, students are going to need college educations, and so how that's all going to shake out, I think, is a little unclear to me at this point.
Does that disinvestment in public higher education by governing bodies across the nation hurt the acceptance of higher education as a public good in our culture in total, affecting privates as well?
I don't think so. I think that there's maybe two parts of the question. One is whether education is rightfully seen as a public good. I think it should be. I think that, you know, the notion that we're training people to be informed members of society, the liberal and liberal arts was about how to function in a free society, and we need that. Whether the actions of legislatures may dilute that, I don't think so. I think that there's a fundamental value in this that probably goes beyond things like employment possibilities that parents and prospective students are going to recognize.
You faced budget challenges at Hamline, too, and part of the public rollout of your status as the new president of Illinois Wesleyan is crafting a process that included the whole campus to meet that challenge at Hamline. Would you describe that and how it might be of use in your new gig?
My general thinking on that is that the more open a process is, the more acceptable it is. That with understanding comes acceptance of the economic realities that are out there. What we did at Hamline was come up with a tool where people who are interested in particular uses of resources could essentially see the competing needs. And what we tried to do, at least, was to give people a sense of perspective so that, yes, we do need X, but we also need Y, and let's have a conversation about how that should happen. And I look forward to doing something like that here.
You've described yourself in your first address as a walking around management kind of guy. And how was that enacted?
Left, right. Basically, I don't want to be so booked that I'm always in my office or always on the road. I want to have time to go out and talk to people. I had a conversation once with another administrator at Hamline, and I said, why aren't you out having lunch with people, for example? And this person said, well, I'm so busy, I don't really have time. I said, well, this is part of my job. You know, if I'm not talking to people, I don't know what's happening. And they don't know what I'm thinking. And so I think it takes conscious effort to get out and talk to people. But it's something I'm inherently, I guess, a social person, so I'm looking forward to meeting as many people as I can.
The new president of Illinois Wesleyan University, Eric Jensen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.